You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a
girlfriend? The guy made me.
You can't stop it.
I just said that today.
End of message.
You just
got a big
matters.
Plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased.
What are you trying to say?
I'm so into you.
I really don't really care.
What?
Next message.
We're still here. Look at my cat.
Get off the cat.
You son of a bitch.
Enjoy it.
It's ODG, Occupy Dave and Giggles.
Where's that?
I got two Tim Tebbles and a microphone.
Where's that?
End of message.
I got two Tim Tebbles and a microphone.
Where's that?
Next message.
I got two Tim Tebbles and a microphone.
Where's that?
Seriously, guys. Four.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out.
End of message.
You look so good right now, you son of a bitch.
Next message.
Talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Get in touch. We got to talk about it.
Horrible. Give us a call. 646-915-9228.
DaveandGiggles.blogspot.com.
That's what it is. Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Gotta go big. Really big.
Really big. What's this light behind us?
I was trying to set the mood.
It's a strange light. It's a strange light.
It's a little weird.
It's just shining right in my face. It's cool, though. We're here.
We are here.
We're here.
We're here. We're ready.
After how many years?
Four or five years.
We're still here.
A couple girlfriends ago.
A couple and a baby ago.
And a baby ago.
Wow.
And a life-changing event. What, you know?
What's that?
Well, I mean, you know, just growing up, getting old, getting bald.
Getting bald.
Getting ugly.
All right, we are here with you for the next what?
We're doing an hour. We're going to do an hour.
We'll do an hour. Maybe we'll go longer. Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe.
Maybe we'll go shorter. You never know.
It's kind of like your sex life. Ooh, you never know what you're going to get.
Ouch. I am Dave, and then next to me, we have this pretty interesting setup lately.
Who's happening? That's your phone?
Someone's calling me. I don't know who that is. Don't matter, though.
Doesn't matter. I don't know
who that is. That's interesting. Whatevs.
What are you
going
to do?
They're just going to keep going. I'm going to turn that down until we're ready to go with them.
We can't but answer them?
I don't know who it is.
Just answer. Will it come up?
Yellow. No. Who is this? Who is this? Hi, Denia. How are you? Nobody called you from here, but I don't know. Where are you? Where are you right now? Yeah, this isn't going to work
out. This isn't going to work.
All right, you have a good night. We didn't call you, but have a good night. Is this for delivery? It's for delivery. You here? Oh, you're done for the night. No deliveries. What was your last delivery? A long day? Hard day? And now you're at your house.
What are you delivering? What are you delivering? What do you deliver?
Ridgewood Eats.
Oh, Ridgewood Eats.
Ridgewood Eats.
They're calling you.
They're calling me.
Hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Danya, we're going to let you go because we've had a long day.
And you have too.
Yeah. And but thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you. We'll talk to you later.
Good night. Buenas noches. Well, that is probably going to be our only caller.
Well, anybody can call. 646-915-9228, just like she did, you know? Like she did.
Why do you think she was calling?
She was actually calling because, I had a delivery the other day, and she delivered to me.
Oh, all right.
It was actually her. I remember now.
A female delivery.
Which is really bizarre, right?
No.
And she was really bad. Like, really bad. Like, I gave her directions, and she called me. She's like, I'm here. I went downstairs, you know, as you normally would.
Right, right.
And she was nowhere in sight. Like, I had my shorts on and sandals on, and I was like, all right, she's not here. I propped up in the door, and I walked around the corner, both corners, nowhere in sight. I call her back. I'm like, where are you at?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, where are you? So I was like, you know, where I told her where I was. And she was like, oh, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I was like, where could you possibly be that you'll be here in 15 minutes? It was really, really ugly. Yeah. But what are you going to do? I gave her a tip anyway.
Was she a – well, they do car driving, right? They don't do the bikes.
I don't know what she was – she was walking.
Walking?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. I didn't understand what she was doing. She didn't have a bike. I didn't see a car or anything.
I had an interesting experience with a delivery guy the other day. Go out there and had a $50 bill, which is, you know, rare for me because I don't usually carry
large
bills.
You're not a money guy.
No, no, not at all. And, you know, my bill was like 23 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, just give me 32 back. And he was, you know, if you're doing the math, you know that that's, you know, and I was trying to include the tip. And I was like, wait a minute, hold on. If my bill was like 23 or 24 and I'm asking for 32 back out of a 50, like, I'm going to hose this guy out of,
you're totally hosing
out of a tip and out of the correct amount for the meal. And then I was like, wait a minute, I'm sorry. And he was doing it too, you know?
He was just going to do it.
He was just going to do it. And I was like, no, sorry, sorry. Oh my God. You know, it was like, just give me a, you know,
12, how much 17. Do you tip somebody that's coming to the door?
If it's cold or raining out, I'll give him an extra dollar or two.
Well, how much is that? How much do you give him, like?
Usually I'll give like 20% on the meal.
So, all right. So
usually it's like a $20 or $30 delivery.
Right.
I'll give anywhere from 4 to 5. Five that's, is usually like max. Like,
that's pretty good. Usually I'll give like 3 or 4. Mm. But it's usually, mine is like, you know, I'm usually ordering for myself.
It's true.
Or for someone who doesn't have any money.
I mean, if a delivery guy got a 5 spot for every job he did, that'd be pretty nice.
That'd be pretty badass. How much do you think they make?
Well, it's not on the books.
You don't think any of that's on the books? Well, they're probably all legal.
I saw, well, here, I got a couple ideas here. Listen, I'm glad we're getting into this because I did want to talk about this.
That's nice.
I saw a delivery guy get hit by a car.
Oh, shit.
And the guy was like, no, don't call cops. Don't call cops. And I was like, dude, you're hurt. Like,
was he hurt too?
I don't think he was that hurt, but I mean, he
hurt enough.
Hurt enough. And he's like, no. And I was like, all right. Okay. And they just went off their separate ways. But here, I got this other thing.
Uh-huh.
What if? I mean, you know, Bloomberg's got this whole soda tax thing, you know, this and that.
The mafia, Bloomberg mafia.
What if? And I know this is kind of be a douche move.
Uh-huh.
Because maybe, you know, but what if you didn't have to tip your delivery driver, your delivery guy who rides on a bike if he wasn't wearing a helmet? Wouldn't that save lives and increase helmet usage?
Your dedication to helmets is you should like start something with this. Like, you should start a website. Like, you got a lot of time on your hands.
I do.
Start a website. No helmet, no tip. No helmet, no tip.com.
You'd just be like, you're not wearing your helmet. Yeah. What if it was like a new thing? I mean, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
It would
increase. Was the guy who you saw get hit, or at least see them afterwards, was he wearing a helmet?
No.
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 So what do you think the percentage of people who wear helmets compared to people who don't wear helmets?
I think probably 10% of delivery guys wear helmets.
Yeah, so it's rare. I rarely see.
And
they're most of those delivery guys are riding around on those electric bikes, which we've seen.
Delivery guys.
They're a little bit more advanced. Is that what you're telling me? Well, the Mexicans aren't as advanced. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying the Asian guys got the scooters, you know, because those are expensive scooters. Those guys don't wear helmets, and they also don't stop at stoplights and stop signs and things like that. And they also don't wear lights.
Going.
They just like, and they're silent too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, those things. And those things move fast. Remember, I have one. Those things move really fast.
What, in your basement?
Well, yeah, I need a new battery. What? I need a new battery. You're over there on HuffPost?
You haven't used that thing since your old girlfriend.
I haven't used that thing in a while. You're right.
It's been a while.
Shit. Oh, man.
Good show.
I'd like for people to call up and say, how much they tip.
Yeah.
Or how much they tip, 646-915-9228. I'd love for you to call about that. But also call about anything else.
Yeah.
Call about whatever is on your mind. I know gun control is really big.
Big.
I also wanted to talk to Manti Te'o. That's pretty big. That's the guy we were just talking about right before the show started with his girlfriend. He made up the whole girlfriend, the whole leukemia thing.
Did he make her up or did the internet make her up?
Somebody
fool him into thinking
I don't know how it went down. If someone could call and tell me what that whole story is, because I just started reading about it and I saw it was in the news, but I think he did kind of make her up.
Yeah.
And he made up the whole story about her, which is crazy because I know it's like And that's the weird thing about, like, he wanted to be a celebrity and he wanted popularity because he was, like, really big runner-up for Heisman Trophy.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That's what his big thing was. So he wanted that extra boost to get that notoriety. So he made up this whole story.
Well, now he's more famous or infamous than he was before now because he, you know, made up a story. But, you know, it's kind of, you know, fallen from grace.
Fallen from grace.
We do want you to call in and, you know, you can promote anything that you're doing. Tell us what's happening. We want to listen. We want to actually hear from you besides Dave's delivery drivers. But call us up and tell me if you think this is a crazy idea. But if there was a statewide or citywide ban on tipping unless your delivery guy wore a helmet.
I would also like to hear anybody's, what they'd like to put into law.
That's a good one. If you could just make a law.
Make a law. What would your law be?
Well, that's a good law. I'm gonna stick to that law.
That's your law.
Yeah, I would also like to see a ban on plastic bags.
That's cracking down. I think that's getting down. I mean, California is down. They put a ban on it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure they put a ban on it.
See, it's a good thing they didn't put a ban on paper bags, because then your girlfriend wouldn't have anything to wear.
Hey,
that was good. I mean,
you really stretched that one out.
Yeah,
it was really
rough. On the delivery.
It was really rough. Man.
Shoot from the hip.
Oof. Oof.
All right.
You know what I actually got for that?
What do you got?
Just keep talking about that. Keep talking for that. I have something for you.
I hope this sound effect's good.
It's
10 seconds in the making.
Just keep talking. Just keep talking.
I'm waiting for it.
This I got ready. I was really excited about this one. Because when someone talks too much, you know, at the Oscars.
Oh, they give
this
them
is
the
song
playoff
you play.
Music. All right, so let's talk. We'll talk Oscars, but let's talk Golden Globes.
This is when I want you to stop talking.
Would you have to fade it up?
I know.
You can't just blare it.
But that's where that one starts. This is what I got. This is what I found. All right, go on. What were we saying?
All right, so the Golden Globes. The biggest thing about the Golden Globes was Jodie Foster's supposed coming out speech. A lot of gays on FB were, you know, they're like, oh, that was a half-ass thing. And other ones were like, oh, it's, you know. It's it was bright, you know. She
but
can do
she's
whatever
already
she can.
Came out. She came out a while ago. This is the one thing that really confused me about that whole thing, because she's come out already for being a lesbian. She had a girlfriend for a long time. Apparently, they broke up. It's been in the news. This isn't anything that was new to anybody. But what was interesting, I really felt like she wanted to say something, but didn't have the balls to say.
Yeah. It was kind of like, you have that stage. You have, like, millions of
right.
people watching.
And,
you.
Like, she went out and actually, here it is.
Thank you. This is terrible.
Well, for all of you SNL fans, I'm 50. You know, I need to do that without this dress on, but, you know, maybe later at Crater Vic.
What does that mean?
What do you
she means, because Molly Shannon kicks.
You know, I was going to bring my walker tonight, but it just didn't go with the clues. Robert? I want
all right. Well, most of our listeners have probably heard this. We
you think so?
Rapid
yeah.
Brain, the sweet intro,
I'm just like she goes.
She goes off for a
she goes
long
on for a
time.
While.
The best part though is every time they cut to Mel Gibson, looks fucking insane.
Well,
Mel Gibson looks absolutely insane.
He is, and here's the thing. I mean, we can get back to Jodie Foster here in a second, but like Mel Gibson, didn't he say all this like anti-Jew stuff and you
it
know?
Did.
And but here, like, here's the thing: we forgive and forget. You know,
well, that's what we'd like to do. We're a society that likes to point fingers, right?
Yeah.
Like, you did wrong. You did wrong. We want you to apologize, but we want to look down at you for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
We want to be like that Mel Gibson. You know, we want to look down at you for a while, but we like a comeback story more than anything.
I mean,
you
didn't see what's his name? What's the black guy? Not the black guy.
What are you talking about?
But Kramer.
Kramer.
You don't see that guy anymore, you know? Said a couple bad things about black dudes. And just,
well, he was kind of just like, well, maybe I should stay out of the spotlight for a while, you
yeah.
know? Actually, Jerry had a podcast or a video YouTube show for a while.
Mm.
And basically all he did was drive around in one of his cars, because he's got like tons of cars, with somebody, one of his famous friends, and they just talk. And one of them was with Kramer. And Kramer went into, like, that whole thing, and he talked about it and talked about how, like, wrong it was. And, like, he was, like, at a really sensitive time in his life. He didn't mean it. He was just really amped up. It was actually pretty interesting. If anybody's interested in watching it, it's actually a pretty good little video podcast that Jerry's got going
Nice
there.
Blog. All right, so Jodie Foster. It's a half-ass coming-out speech.
No,
I'm just going to put it out there, right? Loud and proud, right? So I'm going to need your support on this. I am single. Yes, I am. I am
so single. So was that a joke?
No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But I mean, I'm not really kidding, but I'm kind of kidding. I mean, thank you for the enthusiasm. Can I get a wolf whistle or something? Please. Jesus. Seriously.
There's Mel. Look at him. Looks crazy.
I hope that you're not disappointed that there won't be a big coming out speech tonight. Because I already did my coming out about 1,000 years ago, back in the Stone Age. In those.
So here she says that she has an announcement to give, right?
Yeah.
Her publicist is going to be nervous. She already admits that she came out a while ago.
To everyone who knew her, to everyone she actually met. But now, apparently, I'm told that every celebrity is expected to honor the details of their private life with a press conference, a fragrance, and a primetime reality show.
I mean, now,
but then she meanders on and never says anything.
Yeah.
But I am not Honey Boo Boo Child. No, I'm sorry. That's
you were at one point.
It never was, and it never will be. But please don't cry, because my reality show would be so boring. I would have to make out with Marion Cotillard. I
Dane
have
Lynch.
To spank Daniel Craig's bottom. You know,
all right, so pause this for a second.
It's,
this
because you know,
it goes nowhere.
She meanders on and never says anything.
Yeah.
I think what she wanted to do was announce that she was going to retire from acting, but didn't have the balls to do it.
Yeah, she saw everybody looking at her, and
she
felt the
was
brush,
like, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, she's been, you know, her first movie, she was 13, and she played a, you know, New York City prostitute.
Yes.
Like, she's been around the block, and she's played some, like, she looks and acts pretty fucked up. Like, she seems pretty messed up.
Well, you think, I mean, you know, the line between reality and somebody calling you? What's going on over there?
I don't know, I heard, is that you?
No.
I heard, I felt the buzz, but go on. 646-915-9228, call us.
Give us a call. The line between reality and fiction is pretty thin for some of these people.
Yeah.
We were watching Plan B. McGee and I were watching an episode of Full House the other night.
Why?
I don't know. Because it's actually good TV.
It's
know?
Good TV?
It's good TV. They were, you know, it was almost like, it was almost like a play. You know, it always had a good, like, ending. It always had a good, you know, kind of like wrap up, an emotional feel good at the end of it. But I was thinking, I was like, man, like the Olsen twins, those kids were like robots. At such a young age to where, like, they're like, no, say this line. No, say this line.
Sure.
Okay, say that. But, like, they don't know what's – they didn't know it's real. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're coming into this world at such a young age that you're like, where's the line? What's real and what's not?
It's true. And that's definitely, like, a bad place for a kid to be in, to, like, have this fantasy life from the get-go, you know, like they're not allowed to enjoy, you know, they're making things up and they're playing this part.
Thinking
they don't know,
like,
what's real.
They're being raised by three dudes, you know, like,
it's kind of creepy.
They spent more time with the TV family than I think their own family, but
it's messed up.
It is.
It's real messed up.
What are you going to do about it?
So what was the summation of that Full House that you watched?
What
did you learn from watching that Full House?
Well, that, I think to trust your kids, because it was the episode, and if you're a Full House fan, you'll know exactly which episode I'm talking about. DJ was going to the prom with her date. Her date was nervous, so he had some beers out in the you know, the back hallway.
Who had beers?
Her date. So he had a couple beers, and it accidentally sprayed on her, and so she smelled like beer, and Uncle Jesse comes out.
Oh, no.
And he's like, hey, what are you doing? And he's like, you smell like beer. And he, like, told, you know, her dad, and they got in trouble, and she was like, no, I wasn't. And then
she
went up and she was talking to Stephanie Tanner, you know, her sister,
right,
in the room. And she, you know, and they just started like, you won't believe it. And literally, I don't know if it was, you know, I just started crying a little bit because I was just like,
I started crying
a little bit.
Have you been crying more lately?
No.
Now that you have the kid around, a little bit more sensitive.
Well, things are a lot more real now, you know.
Well, how is it more real to have a kid than not to have a kid? Tell me.
What do you think?
You have the kid. I don't.
I mean,
you've had both encounters of living without a child and living with a child. Tell me what it's like to live with a child.
I mean, it's amazing. It's definitely, you know, it's definitely difficult at times.
What's difficult? Like, what are the difficult times?
Well, like when you're tired and the kid's up and you're like, well, I can't take a nap now. I can't do what I want to do. The kid's up and he wants to play. Like, it definitely, like, when my kid is up and he's, like, active and awake, I want to give him something to do, whether it's, like, play with something, look at me, walk around the house, like, you know, like, it was weird. Like, I see this kid, and I'm, like, thinking, I'm like, man, I'm giving this kid so much attention. I'm spending 14 hours or more at least at home with who's
what's
buzzing?
Going on over there?
Nah, shit's going on.
Oh, Deb. That's Deb. Shut up, Deb.
So I'm spending, you know, doing the whole stay-at-home dad thing 3 days a week with the little guy.
How is it alone?
It's not bad. It's not bad. I actually thought I was going to freak out.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking, like, no, it's really nice because I get to spend time with this kid. We really get to bond, and we get to, like, I feel like he knows me, you know? He's like, of course he knows me. But
do you feel like he knows you more so than?
Than Mrs. Giggles?
Mrs. Giggles.
Yeah, I don't, you know, that's a little touchy because, you know, I know that she probably feels bad that she's like, well, I'm working and I'm working. You know, I want to be home
and
taking
the baby.
Can't, but then she has 4 days a week that she can hang out with the
and
kid.
She's home, you know, and she gets home.
Yeah. But, like, she hasn't had one of those 14-hour stints with the kid alone.
You're the only one.
To where you just, you know.
That's it.
This is the first
line
of defense.
You got responsibilities.
Yeah. But we take our walks. I put them in the Moby wrap. Here's the other thing.
The Moby wrap?
People
like
love
Moby,
it.
The band?
M-O-B-Y.
That's Moby.
Yeah, that's called a Moby wrap.
All right.
Oh, he's been here the whole time.
Yeah,
he's
been here. Yeah, that fat cat.
So we go out, and you know what's nice about being a dad with a baby? I feel like people smile at you more when they see a dad with their kid.
Well, yeah, you're a little more trusting instantaneously.
You're like, oh, he's got a kid.
He's got a kid. He's got responsibilities. They look at single guys as being like, you know.
Stop looking at my tits.
Yeah, exactly. They're not going to. The guys with kids are not going to be like, you know, you should give me a number sometime.
It doesn't work.
We should try it. I'm telling you. We should do experiments to see how many numbers you get after you have a baby.
That's
we're not going to call these people.
I don't want to break hearts, though.
You think you can still break hearts? I've seen that hair you have on your head. You ain't breaking anybody's heart.
But, yeah, people smile a lot more. It's nice. They're like, oh.
Oh, are they smiling at you or are they smiling at the baby?
Well, they're smiling at the kid.
They're smiling at the baby.
But I think it's the fact that I'm holding a kid. They're like, oh, that's nice, you know?
Sure. Everyone likes a baby. That's why we don't kill them and eat them.
It's true.
They're cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real cute.
Real cute.
Real cute. So, yeah, it's been pretty good.
646-915-9228. I know you're listening, and I know you want to call. Just call. Just call.
Yeah.
Just call. Say hello.
Yeah, give us a shout.
Give us a shout.
What's going on with you? You anything exciting, or are you just living the same old boring life?
I went to a screening of the film that I colored, I guess you could say.
Well, we don't use that word anymore.
Colored people? Colored. I actually invited you. I wanted you to come down. What happened?
It's all the way on West 4th.
You just don't go out anymore.
Not as much. If I do, I usually stick to the neighborhood.
Yeah, you don't go anywhere. You got a car, though.
I don't want to drive in this city. I mean, this is the only city that you can really get away with not having a car. Maybe that's not true. But, like, this is one of the best cities to not have a car in.
Sure.
So, like, if I don't need to take a car, you know. And also, you know, I'm trying to reduce my carbon footprint. I know it sounds cheesy, but listen, man.
I think you just, like, increased your carbon footprint by, like, a million.
By, like, staying at home and watching TV all day.
That's true. But I think having a kid leaves a very big carbon footprint.
Oh,
because,
probably, yeah.
You know, think about, like, all that you – having this child – all that child's going to do. And then if that child has more children, it's just going to be an ongoing thing of making more, a bigger carbon footprint.
It's true. But he's a cute carbon footprint.
Sure, he's a cute carbon footprint, but he's still a carbon footprint.
Mm.
Well, I think it just increases that carbon footprint by a lot. So go ahead.
Oh, no. No,
you were going to say something.
No, I was doing a hand motion to let you know that I was listening to you.
You were listening to me, I think.
It was one of those like, but yes, so here's an interesting question.
Callers,
if you want to call in, chime in on this, what do you think? 646-915-9228.
Just call people.
All right. So listen, I'm not a right wing, you know, nut job or anything like that.
You're not?
And I don't agree with China's, you know, if it's a girl, they, you know, throw it in the river policy.
Sure.
But do you think, you know, after three kids.
Yeah.
You have three kids.
Uh-huh.
You're getting government benefits. Do you think after the fourth one.
I feel like you asked me this last week.
They should stop. This is not. I'm not going to say what I think. I'm proposing a question to you.
The thing is that you like if you want to live in like communist Russia, communist society, You could tell people how many kids you want, but right. if you want to live in a free society, you cannot tell people how many kids they can have.
But could you tell them how many kids you could have with, like, government benefits? Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
sure, but
here's
that,
the thing. I don't want more than, like, 2 or 3 kids. I think 3 is, like, pushing it. 3 is, like,
I think if you have 3 kids, we're in a world of shit.
I'm in a world of shit.
Yeah, you're in a world of shit, and we're all in a world of shit.
I don't know. I mean, it is sort of like a communist sort of, like, North Korean manifesto type, you know, proposal here.
Sure.
But and you can't just cut benefits for people who so already have 4 or 5.
Just playing a little music in the background.
Awesome.
I know. Just in the little background. It's so relaxing. Just go on. I'm listening.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm listening.
So, like, you know, with the other thing, maybe people don't believe in birth. So, I mean, you're not going to go around.
You
know,
you have a lot of Catholics who don't believe in birth.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the thing is that you have a government that says, I'm going to tell you how many kids you have.
Yeah.
Can have. You're going to enter into a world of, like, really.
They're not telling you how many kids you can have. They're saying, listen, you can have 3.
So then what do you do with those kids after the 3?
Alright,
so those say this woman has 5 kids. No baby daddy, right? Baby daddy's gone. Maybe baby daddy's in jail, right?
Yeah.
Alright, so even say that. Baby daddy's in jail, right? Mm-hmm.
Why you gotta say baby daddy?
What's wrong with that?
Sorry, no, you can't. You can say
what's wrong with that? All right. That's not racist.
The kid sounds a little racist.
That's not racist.
The kid's
baby daddy.
All right, kid's father's impression.
So you have that, and then you have this woman. She has 5 kids, right? You, government giggles, I'm going to call it, says, listen, lady, you've had 2 more than your regulated dose, right?
No.
I'm only going to give you money for these 3.
Yeah.
Okay? What about those 2 kids?
I mean, listen, you gotta spread the wealth. I mean, you gotta make a.
So then you're gonna have, like, a percentage of the or the population that is going to be raised even worse ghettos than before, right? Because they're not gonna be able to afford these kids. They're gonna have to make every penny pinch even further, right? Mm-hmm. And then the ghettos are gonna become worse because these extra percentage of kids who aren't getting any help.
But here's the thing, you only have 1 car. You don't have 4 cars because you can't afford 4 cars.
Okay.
So, like, plus you can't drive 4 cars equally. But you can, but you can't give attention to each one of those 4 cars. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Do these cars need attention?
These cars need attention. You know what I'm saying?
They need a cleaning.
They need oil changes. They need gas.
You gotta get an oil change.
Think about it, though. I'm not saying I'm a freaking 1984 type of government control.
You kind of.
One of those things that I think about.
No, go ahead. I like where you're going with this. We're debating.
You know, I'm watching a lot of the news. And I won't say watching.
I'm going to just have a real quick. Mike Pop, he just liked our show. If he's listening, Mike Pop, I want you to give a call in. 646-915-9228. 646-915-9228. I'd really like for him to call in. Keep going. I'm listening.
All right, so listen. So I've been reading a lot of news. I've been watching a lot of Oliver Stone's.
I'm listening. Oliver Stone.
Oliver
I know
Stone,
the guy.
Old history of the United States. You know, I've been seeing the things that are happening in the news now.
Yeah.
And I came up with this status the other day that was pretty well already. Basically saying, like, you know, why doesn't Obama? Wouldn't it be cool if Obama used the money that he was going to use on the inauguration?
Oh, you put this out on your Facebook status. All right, go ahead, say it again.
A simple webcast with a video, and I said, hey, listen, this is the party, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have a dinner at the convention hall, whatever. It's, you know, catered by this. These guys are donating for ad space and whatnot. But I think upwards of 100 million or at least 50 million are within taxes and security and roadblocks and transport, all this crap.
Tons of stuff.
To have a you're hired again party. You know, he's got the job. You've been at your job for what, 3 years, 4 years?
Yeah, about 2 or 3 years.
After 4 years, are they gonna? All right, Dave, way to go.
We're gonna throw you
a party.
Party
that's gonna cost $100 million. All this shit about
You don't make a bad claim. You know,
why do they say we got to raise the debt ceiling when we're broke and we owe $15 million and this and that? I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell you where you can make some cuts. How about you not throw that ridiculous party, huh?
But who's paying for that party? Are we paying for that party?
There's got to be tax.
See, this is the thing that you'll throw things out there, but you won't do the research in finding out where that money comes from. It's possible that that money does come
from donors
and special interests and all this stuff. Right,
but maybe those donors and special interests should maybe donate to some freaking kids going to school. Or some, you know,
or those two people, those two kids, that percentage of kids that you don't want to fund because they're just deadbeat kids. Where'd you go? Closing the window. Why?
It's getting chilly in here.
Closing the window. 646-915-9228. I know you're out there.
Yeah, give us a shout. So here's another crazy idea I had. So there's 300, 400 million. Why we're getting so political, but this is what I'm thinking all day, you know? All
right, you spit it out, and then I'm going to go into something else.
300, 400 million, 500 million Americans.
I love how you just throw out numbers, just and I'm sure they numbers. Don't mean anything.
I don't know my facts. What if every American who, you know, they have this Obamacare and this whole thing. Like
uh-huh.
What if
Obamacare
you put
this
in
whole thing.
Every American
uh-huh.
put in $25 a month, all right?
All right.
And it was like basically like a Kickstarter for health coverage.
Kickstarter for health coverage.
$25 a month.
So you so President Obama comes on there and says, "Listen, I'm starting a Kickstarter and I want everyone to give money."
Anybody who doesn't have health
for
insurance.
For what? What?
$25 a month. It goes into this huge lottery, huge savings account, it gets interest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's basically like the insurance companies now, cuz you know basically they're making money on you being healthy, you know? You get a You pay anywhere from upwards of $200 to some families I know pay $1,700 a month in health insurance. Even if they don't get sick, even if nothing happens to
yeah.
them, that money gets put into these accounts that gets, you know, moved around and they make money off of that money. That's a lot of this trouble that we got into is people are making money off of money. And it's like, no, let's use the money that you're...
And actually put it places?
Yeah.
What do you think? Should there be healthcare for everyone?
Yeah.
Should everyone have health care?
We are, as far as we know, and I've said this before, the top of the food chain. Unless you're in the woods with a grizzly bear and then you're screwed. But, like, we like to think that we're the smartest, the most evolved, the, you know, the, what do you call it? You know, we build skyscrapers, we advance technology and science.
A lot of people build skyscrapers.
All right, well, you don't see monkeys building skyscrapers.
Monkeys don't build skyscrapers.
You know what I'm saying?
Although they live in the trees, so that's something they got going for them.
Right. But we have, like, we are those humans that have ability to think and to reason and to act and to make a change for good, you know?
Yeah, we have, what do we have?
We have, I don't know what it is, but, like, the ability to kind of, like, think, like, where do we come from and where are we going, you know? We also have the ability to be very violent and
sure
evil. But I'm just saying.
What do you keep saying?
No, like... This cat wants out.
What are you saying? Keep saying it.
I'm just saying, like, we should have health care for all. Like, if you get hurt, you get sick, it shouldn't be whether you... Don't you damn play that music for me, son of a bitch. You shouldn't have to decide whether you
what?
Pay your rent or pay your health care. Do you know what I'm saying? If
sure.
being healthy and you still have to pay $1,700 a month, some families I know spend, like, $1,800 to $2,000
well,
a month.
Well, healthcare is like when you have something wrong with you. You know, you go to the hospital, something like major.
Mm-hmm.
You come out and you all of a sudden have like $20,000.
Oh yeah,
and which actually leads me into our guest that we're gonna have on tonight. You don't know anything about this, do you? You don't know anything about this, which I enjoy the fact that you don't know anything about this. I've been setting it up over here while you've been over there.
Okay,
so we're gonna have Mike. Pop calling. So this is Dave from Dave and Giggles, and weeks passed since we've had Mike Pop on, and haven't gotten anything out. And the reason for that is because we had massive technical issues and lost a lot of the actual recording of that show, which is probably one of the most unfortunate things that I could think of our show, especially since that show was so important to me and it dealt with a large portion of my life and growing up and getting to talk to Mike Pop, the kid I grew up with. neighbor, you know, practically family, because you grow up with him, you're so close to him all your whole life. And I got a chance to talk to him, and it was pretty powerful and it was pretty impressive. And the amount that I do have, which is about a 30-minute patch, I would love to get out and have you guys listen to it, because it's definitely worthy of that. So without further ado, here is the last about half an hour of our conversation with Mike Popp, just kind of picking it up where he is talking about his time in the hospital, how weak he is, going through chemo. And without further ado, Mike Popp.
I've only done 28 days of chemo, and I have more chemo tomorrow, but like, most of my blood work is actually normal. So like, I don't feel weak. I feel pretty good. Like, I can walk 2 miles on the floor. I actually wore pants today for the first time in 44 days.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember when you were first putting out the things where you, like, walking around the floor was like a giant chore for you. It was just like a huge accomplishment.
It was a big deal. It was a really big deal.
Right.
Like, you know, I have, like, I can't feel my fingertips anymore, and my hands can tremble pretty severely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't do a jumping jack if I wanted to, but, like, you know, I don't feel like I have cancer. Like, I know that I do.
Right.
But the last couple of weeks, I haven't, I mean, especially chemotherapy for me so far has been the easiest part. But again, like, I forget that I'm completely packed full of drugs to ensure that it's as easy as possible.
Right.
But yeah, the word remission did come up this morning.
That's pretty fantastic. Nice to hear. That is really great.
So, and then, you know, in addition to that, it's just been, I don't know, it's an odd thing to say, but I'm actually happier now than I've been in, like, almost 9 years.
It's amazing. Let me ask you this one question. What perspective has it, I mean, you're still in it, and I understand that, and you're really still fighting, and all, everything that goes along with that mental state. What perspective has it given you thus far? Like, what? Why are you more happy now than you have been in 9 years?
Well, I mean, for starters, facing—and this is going to sound overly dramatic—but facing death on two occasions in 14 days makes you appreciate life in a way that I don't think you can possibly experience unless you've had to literally, I guess it's physically fight back because it's, you know, an internal physical thing, but, you know, it'll change the way you view the entire world. I mean, in a heartbeat, especially when you find out how close you were to death. Like,
sure.
You experience it like you know, things are wrong. You're out of it, and it's kind of hazy experience, but it's, as long as you're conscious, it's, there's things being processed. So coming back from that was one thing, and then being plucked out of your life is another thing.
How did that treat you? How did like being you pretty much you're in the cancer institute. I'm not sure which one, but.
I'm actually at Sloan Kettering now.
Sloan Kettering.
Yeah, I transferred to Sloan, yeah.
That's great.
Which, by the way, if you have cancer, this is where you should be.
I'll keep that in mind. I hope I don't
need
to.
I'm sure there's other great facilities, but this is a good place to be.
How was it, like, because, I mean, that, I think that's one of, like, everyone's fear in some way, you know, being like, I'm going to have to put my entire life on hold for something that I have to do, whether it's good or bad. Like, leaving that comfort of your stability that you're used to is a scary thing. What was that like, leaving your whole world behind you? And, like, what steps did you take into leaving? Did you tell everybody? Were you like, listen, I got to go do this thing? Like, what went through your head, and what did you tell everybody?
Well, I mean, I found out I had, on December 3rd, I found out I had cancer. And by December 4th, I was admitted to the hospital by, you know, so it's 4 p.m. on, you know, 4:30 on December 3rd, you have cancer. And then sperm bank, back to the doctor. I left the doctor at like 6 p.m. And on my way to the train, I made like 10 phone calls. And I was like, hey, I have cancer. I'm going to this bar at 9:30. Like, I'd like to see you before I have to leave the world for a while. And at this point, I'm thinking I've got 5-6 months in the hospital. You know, I don't really realize what the time frame is. I find out that it's 2.5 years later. I don't know that yet. So, you know, I'm upset, and I make some phone calls. We meet at this bar. And it's kind of a weird thing because it's also my last night at home with my girlfriend. So it's like, I want to see these people. I have to spend time with my girlfriend. I just want to be home for, like, a little while and try to process what just happened, you know, knowing that I'm going to be admitted to the hospital and I don't know for how long. So you can't really prepare.
Right.
You know, I made a few phone calls, and my job is flexible enough that, like, and understanding enough that they were really cool about what was going on. I mean, you kind of hope that they are.
Right.
You know, somebody has cancer. You're hoping that they're like, oh.
Sure, you don't want them to be like, well, screw you. You're fired. Maybe if you come back, we'll rehire you, you know?
Well, I run the company, so.
Well, that's good.
You know, I'm actually super critical to the functioning of the company. So it was more like, holy shit, sorry.
You can curse all you want.
What are we going to do type of thing? So you can't prepare. There's no time. Like, that's the thing is, it's like 14 hours later, you're in the hospital, and like, that's it.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, I called some people. I had a beer and a whiskey, and I went home and like sat down with my girlfriend and was just like, you know, everything's going to be okay. Like, tried to reassure her that,
sure,
you know, everything was going to be fine and it wouldn't be that long. And there's never any answer. Like, this whole thing is like just full of uncertainty.
Right.
Like,
of course.
Even now, I don't know when I'm leaving the hospital. I don't know when I'm coming back, and I don't know anything. It's like, it's just completely open. And there's like something that's exciting about that, and there's something that's petrifying about that, like,
sure,
all at the same time.
Yeah, it's absolutely
sort of a whirlwind of emotions that you get to process as best as you can.
Right. Now, so we had a technical issue, but we're back up online now. We were down for a couple seconds, but we kept talking, so it's all cool. But for the people who are listening now, we're on the phone with Mike Pop, who was diagnosed with leukemia, and you can go to his site, Popstrong, popstrong.com, and check out all this stuff there. And then there's the popstrong.tumblr.com and popstrong.com/fight. where you can go and donate to charities and all those things, great things that you're really backing, which is awesome. I do want to get into, because I've been reading pretty much everything that you're putting down, and it's absolutely beautiful, and it's beautiful and terrifying and everything rolled into one. But the one thing that really like stuck out to me, because it's a decision that had to be made rather than everything else pretty much lately for you, where decisions are made for you, the decision you made of, if you die, your sperm will be terminated.
Yeah.
What made you come up with that decision rather than keeping it around, that if your family decided or if your girlfriend decided that she wanted to use it, what made you decide that that's it, I want it to be terminated with me?
Yeah, so, I mean...
I mean, that's a big question, you know, like, that's a big debatable.
Yeah, no, when I read that on the forum, when I saw the term deceased and fatal, those words, I mean, that was, the doctor hadn't said anything about that to me. And yes, it had crossed my mind, because obviously cancer can kill you, and this may kill me. I'm just getting started, and I'm way behind schedule. So it's something that's always in your brain. That was the first time I had seen it.
Right.
So we're like 40 minutes into having cancer officially, and I just donated the saddest sperm in the world.
Right.
you know, clear plastic cup, like sperm that I don't even think I would want a child to be born from. Like, that's how sad it was. Like, if that's the experience that has to bring my children into this world, like, I don't know that I want that. So I'm thinking that, like, none of this feels right to me. Like, it's not how you picture your life going, obviously.
Of course.
You know, that's obviously not how you would picture your life going. But so now I've got, like, a minute to decide, what do I want to do with this?
Right, of course. I mean, that's like that, you know, short period of time to decide such a gigantic question, and you're alone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you know, you're just, I'm just staring at this question, like, trying to figure out, like, what I want to do with this. You know, do I want my sperm just around? Like, do I want a child to be raised with my sperm alone and not be a part of his life or her life? Or,
right.
You know, you just, and I just, like, you know what? No, I don't. I don't.
Right.
I don't.
I think overall, you know? I think, like, I probably would have made that same decision, but that the, that selfishness inside of me of wanting to continue on something that, that's been a part of me, I think it would really sit really heavy on my mind. And I think that that, yeah, that is a very selfish part of you that would want something to go on, even though you won't be there. But it's
now
definitely,
you have cancer.
And now you have cancer, but it's definitely a,
like, what
a,
if your kid has cancer?
It's, that's
like,
a very good point.
You want your child to have cancer?
They didn't grow
like
up
now
on,
you're, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a risk. I'm a risk factor.
Sure. I think Berlane's a risk factor. I think we need to look into this, Mike. I think we need to look into Berlane.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I don't know if cancer patients have cancer children, but do you want to risk that? Like, is that something I wanted to risk? Like, could you imagine having a child with cancer? Like, every time I see a child in the hospital here, and every child I see in the hospital has cancer.
How, what are the average age for, like, the, what's the average age for, or like the age range of the children that are in there?
I mean, their kids are, haven't even opened their eyes yet. I mean, there's like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old you are, basically, you can get cancer.
What's the, like the, cause I mean, you're, when you're in there, like from what I read, from what you're writing, like you tried to keep a very positive, open mind and all that stuff. Is the mood in the cancer ward, is it like you, I remember you were writing, you were talking about like inside versus outside, obviously outside being the real world, inside being the cancer institute, but like inside you're like, everyone smiles at each other. Everyone talks to each other. Like what is like the overall mood inside?
I mean, it's a mixed bag. Some people don't want to be here. Some people don't mind being here, but like, you know, we're all,
you're all there.
We're all just trying to stay alive, basically. And like right now, I was on the leukemia floor, but I got transferred off of it, and then they got a influenza outbreak, so I couldn't go back.
Right.
But then they transferred me to a, so I'm on a surgical floor right now.
Gotcha.
A lot of the people here have like severe surgical procedures done, and they're more healing than anything.
Right.
But, you know, I'm sort of secluded to this floor. And there's 15, there's like a lounge that you can go to that's kind of a sad place to go to. And right now, no one can really go there because of the flu. But some people are really sad. But when you make eye contact with another patient, like, we don't necessarily talk. I mean, a lot of them can't talk. But, you know, we acknowledge that we're both in this together.
Right.
And it's like, there's like this solidarity among us that, you know, like I said in my blog, it's like outside, like we have one goal in here, all of us. And inside here, we're all very certain of what that goal is.
Sure.
And that's like just live. Like, that's it. Like, I know that everyone outside, like, generally wants to live.
Sure.
Like, it's something that we focus on a daily basis.
Sure. But I mean, that outside mentality is like the back burner is to live. The front burner is to make money, meet a girl, meet a guy, do all this other stuff, have babies, whatever it's going to be. But that back burner is to live. When you're inside, it's that's forefront. That's everything. That is fight, live or die. That is fight for everything you have to survive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's absolutely insane.
Pretty much. That's how we feel about it, you know? And it's a pretty incredible thing to front burner.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
Right. Everything you've ever known, you know, comes to a head, and that's what you got, you know? How's your parents taking it as far? I mean, my mom would be just absolutely devastated for, you know, the whole time. But how are your parents taking it?
Yeah, you know, pretty well. You know, I think it's one of those situations where, you know, we're sort of through the rough patch
right at
the moment. And I think that's let everyone settle down a bit. So I think it's exhausting is really what it is.
Yeah, it's a good word for it.
You know, they're upset, but you got to keep a face and you got to talk to the family and everyone needs to be reassured. So it's sort of like this weird experience where I feel bad that people around me have to deal with this.
Sure.
And then the people around me have to like put on a face and make sure that everyone else feels comfortable. So like everyone is trying to make everyone else feel better about the situation.
Right.
But, you know, they're doing well. My mom actually moved to New York and she's been here for a while. She's been here for like about a month, you know, living in and out of the hospital. And, if I go into I will most likely go into a stem cell transplant. She'll probably come back and stay with me for however long I will be in the hospital.
The stem cell, is that something that you'd have to go out of the country for? Or is that something we do here now?
They do it here, but it's a process. So basically they need to get me into remission completely. And then my sister, who actually turned out to be a 10-10 match, which is incredible.
Really?
So pretty stoked about that. So my sister's basically going to save my life.
Shit.
Which is pretty awesome. So she's going to fly back to New York. They're going to give her some drugs. They're going to pull some of her stem cells out of her blood. They're going to give them to me, and then hopefully my body doesn't reject them and hers don't reject my body, and then they get into this war called graft versus host disease, which is not a good thing to be in because they're basically going to wipe out my immune system to allow this to occur. And then for like 21 days minimum to 3 or 4 months, I'll be in serious solitary confinement,
like bedridden.
No outside world. Yeah, like you're basically. So basically, what they do is they completely wipe out your immune system, and then my sister's marrow, like her stem cells, will get into my marrow, and then they'll start to create their own immune system. And however long that takes is like however long I'm not allowed to be in the world, and it's basically 9 months to a year. From the date of the transplant is like, you know, you're gone. Like I'll only be in the hospital for like maybe a couple of months and then I get to go home. And like every day, hopefully you get better and stronger and, you know, more resilient to diseases. You're basically like you're a baby. Some people call it a second birthday. Like you literally, all the germs you've ever gotten sick from are gone. Like, you don't have any of those defenses. Any of the antigens or whatever that you've built up over the time. So, like, you don't get sick when you eat. Like, I can't eat, like, lettuce or tomatoes that aren't cooked. Or fruit without, like, even right now I can't even eat it. Because my body can't fight those bacteria that you and most of the people in the world can just kill, like, no problem. And on top of that, my immune system will be so bad that the actual bacteria in my intestines can kill you.
Shit. This is terrible, Mike.
Like
this is terrible.
Your own body's bacteria can kill you. Like, that's how.
So you need to be the Mike in the bubble. Basically, you're telling me Mike in the bubble.
I'll be a bubble boy. I'll be a bubble boy for a minimum of 1 month, but probably closer to 3 months.
That's crazy. Well, hopefully they'll get you a mobile bubble, and then you could just kind of like walk around the streets, just kind of like say hi to people.
In a room. I'll be in a room on the 8th floor, and that's it. I'll just be in this one room for that whole time, and that will be my life.
Crazy.
And you know what? Like, you know, it's a little nerve-wracking, but at the same time, it's like, okay, you know, let's do this.
I mean, that's really all you can do, right? I mean, you're just like, all right, this is what we got to do. Let's do it. Keep a positive attitude and try to pull through, you know?
Pretty much. And then, you know, my girlfriend is always complaining that I'm never home.
Well,
so she gets to be completely stuck with me for about a year, which I think is incredible because I'm pretty sure she's going to hate me.
Yeah, be like, why don't you go back to work, you know?
So so one of the things that I'm actually really excited about is I used to paint a lot. I used to make these paintings in my studio, and I used to take pictures that I enjoyed taking, and I got really distracted and I stopped painting and I started doing commercial photography, and I just really didn't care much for it. But so, like, this whole experience has, like, really reawakened my creative side.
That's great.
So the awesome thing about the stem cell transplant is that, like, I can go to my studio as long as I'm physically healthy enough.
Sure. I mean, you bring your studio to your apartment, set up a little corner for some stuff.
No, I mean, my studio is really close to my apartment, so it's not a huge deal.
That's
and
good.
I'm actually, I like going there. It's sort of like my artistic man cave type of thing. But, so I'll basically have, like, 9 months, 6 to 9, maybe a year of, like, not being able to go to work. Like, I can work from home, which I can do, you know, whatever. And then I can go to my studio and just paint and take photographs and like, just be artistic, like, during the day. Like, that's going to be my day job for a year.
It's not a bad way to deal with something like that.
Yeah, plus I get to process this artistically, and it's like, it's funny that I'm like, you know, I have cancer, and that's terrible.
Sure.
But, like, it seems like it's going to allow me to do, like, a bunch of things that I should have been doing for the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the perspective that you really can look back on and be like, well, what do I enjoy doing? What do I want to do? And really focus in on that. I mean, you could get down to, like, a whole, like, series of, like, reflection of, like, you know, like what you went through and everything you've been through and props you've used along the way and like do a whole series of just that, you know, that'll last you for that entire year. I'm sure you will.
That's what like I'm just so excited about it.
Yeah.
Like I'm terrified about the stem cell transplant because I don't know enough about it to be comfortable with it. And two, because it sounds pretty awful.
Right. It does sound pretty awful.
But, like, the upside is like, yeah, I get to, like, if that goes well, and I'm hopeful that it does, like, I get this opportunity to just reclaim my entire existence. And, like, from now on, like, I can just do exactly what I want to do. And, like, I don't see any other option. And up until 45 days,
right.
Like, it wasn't even something I was considering.
It's absolutely insane. Like,
you know, it's just like, it's terrible that I have to get cancer, but it's amazing what it can do to your life.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much puts you, it eats you alive, but it also puts your life on hold, and all you could do really is hope that you come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's different for everybody, and at the moment, it's going well for me.
Good.
And my body's responding well. And I know that not everybody, like, I have some friends on the floor that, you know, their treatments are different. Their odds are different. You know, so I'm not trying to make cancer sound like the best thing in the world. It's just there are things that come out of it that are amazing. Like, my family came together. I got to know my family in a different way. My relationship with my girlfriend is stronger than ever. You know, you people.
Sure.
People that you haven't talked to in 20 some odd years.
Like me.
You're chatting with on a radio show.
Sure.
You know, it's like
yeah.
all these things that come out of it that are pretty incredible.
That is pretty incredible.
And you embrace it and you acknowledge it. It's like, it's kind of awesome in like the actual sense of the word.
Yeah, it is really amazing. It is.
You know, so it's sort of like, I'm sort of in awe of it and what it's done and how people have reacted. And, you know, the goal is to just live through it. But in addition to that, like, make the most of it. And there's so much to be made out of it that you don't realize until you're knee deep in it. And you're like, wow, that this.
Get busy living or get busy dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the potential to just. I mean, when do you get the opportunity to just completely change your life and make yourself happy?
Yeah, I mean, it's a rare
thing. That opportunity, you have it every day, but, like,
right.
You know, when do you, like, really snap out of it?
Yeah.
Especially in your city. Like, living in your city can be one of the most distracting things in the world, keeping you from doing what you want to do. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the...
wearing helmets or not. You know, whatever it's going to be, whatever little mundane thing you can think of. You know?
Yeah. No. Totally.
You will. Well, PopStrong, P-O-P-P, strong.com, popstrong.com/fight, popstrong.tumblr.com, all those great sites. You're continuing the writing and everything and the Tumblr and everything, right?
Yeah. The writing will continue until this is over.
Great. Well, I would love to. I think we're gonna head out, but I would love to touch base. Maybe every show, just touch base, see how you're doing, see how things are going. I would love to keep tabs and keep promoting everything you got going.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Happy to do so.
That's awesome.
I'll have more stories as we go.
I like stories, and I hope they're good stories. We're all backing you over here, and I hope everything stays well and. That big R remission word continues to pop its head out and everything goes fantastically and smoothly.
I appreciate it tremendously.
Yeah. I mean, stay in touch. We'll talk to you. I'll give you a buzz next show and we'll get you on. We'll talk a little bit about it and awesome. Thanks for touching
right.
base, Mike.
Thank you guys. Take care.
Later, buddy.
Bye.
Thanks. And there he goes. I'm going to say this.
Turn that down.
I never claimed to be a comedy show. I say it in the open.
It's true. We didn't claim to be a comedy show.
Never claimed to be a comedy. Sometimes you got to talk about the heavy shit.
You got to get real.
You got to get real. I had to pee pretty bad after all that and you giving me all these beers. So I'm going to play this song right here. Oh, fuck my. Everything is freezing. What happened during that thing?
I don't know. The internet went down. Good show.
Really good show. Thanks for Mike. Popstrong.com. I really want to everyone go read his stuff because they really are really well written and well thought out.
He's got good pictures and everything.
He's a great photographer. And I grew up next to this kid and it's crazy.
How do you get leukemia? Shit, God, man.
Not only did he get it, but my other neighbor got it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like it's something's happening. I don't know what it is, and I hope everything works out with it, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good kid, though.
He's
a good kid. We all wish him well. We'll touch base with him next time. You want to say anything else before we go?
No, man. That was heavy.
That was heavy for you. You didn't say much.
I didn't say I had to listen. Well, I didn't have to, but I wanted to, you know?
I can't believe I was so mad at you when everything froze up.
It froze up, but we got it on the Zoom.
You think?
Test it out. We stop this. Good show.
Good show. All right. Well, let's do this again sometime soon.
Let's do it next week. We got a guest coming up next week. He's coming back on.
Who?
Devin.
What's his deal?
The Hungry Tiger. He's like takes people out on the grub crawls.
What's his big thing? What's his story?
He's a chef.
And?
He takes people out.
And? Shit. You got nothing for me. I got pissed.
We're gonna ask him.
All right.
Good show.
See you guys next week.